Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the message today. I'm Monty and I'm so excited to be able to share today's word with you all. This month, we have been doing a great series on the local church, God's amazing community. And today, we're going to take a look at one section inside of the local church called Connect Groups. We're going to be talking about it today. But first of all, let's just kind of recap a bit about the local church. The church is a community of believers gathered together to worship God and to learn and to grow together. We see examples of this all throughout the New Testament, in the example even of Jesus, in the examples of the churches that Paul and others start later in the New Testament. We see this amazing coming together of like-minded people with the like-spirited faith, coming together to worship God, to have fellowship, to enjoy each other, to grow with one another. It is a beautiful picture, the church of God. Jesus himself even calls the church his bride. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone came to me and told me they don't like my wife, guess what? I don't like you either. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there's a narrative out there that's kind of against the church, that's kind of anti-church, just the dude that's out there like, oh, you know, me and Jesus and that's all we need. No. I think there is so much more for us as believers when we understand the importance of the local church, when we understand the value and love that God has for his church. Amen? So today, I called this message, Why Do I Need Connect Group? Why do I need Connect Group? Connect Group are the small groups that we have inside of our church. Now, I love the church. I believe we all need the church where we come and gather and praise God and hear a great message. But I feel like that's great, but there's more. And Connect Group is where we find the more. Amen? And so I love the church and I also love Connect Groups. So today, I want to talk more about what connect groups are and why do I need to be in a connect group? Because they're in a bigger or larger church, it can sometimes feel like a bit disconnected from one another, a bit disconnected from real relationships with each other. Maybe in a smaller context, we can develop and deepen the relationships with other like-minded believers. So that's where Connect Groups comes in. What happens in a Connect Group? Let me read Colossians 1 verse 9 to 10. It says, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." I love this scripture. I love the painting that it paints. No, does that make sense? The picture that it paints. We'll go with that. It talks about, first of all, that this guy, Paul, writing this book of Colossians, says, "I haven't stopped praying for you." One thing we'll find in Connect Group is prayer. Prayer for one another, with one another. It is a beautiful thing to be able to pray with others. Paul says, "I have been praying for you nonstop, and I ask God to give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding so that you will honor God, so that you will produce fruit." What else will we find in Connect Group? We will find encouragement and equipping in order to produce good fruit. There is a learning element in our Connect Groups where we get to discover more about God and God's plan for us and God's goodness and what the Bible says. There is a deepening of our faith and relationship in God in the context of Connect Groups. And finally, it says, "Then all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." There is a growing in the learning. And I don't believe we ever stop learning. That's why I don't think there ever stops being a need for small group, for connect group, for the context for believers to get in a smaller place and encourage and pray and see one another growing in their faith in Jesus. So, you might be wondering, oh, is this biblical? Where's the model for this? Well, would it surprise you to know that Jesus had a connect group? It's called the 12 disciples. He had 12 guys that he was constantly around for 3 years, praying for them, teaching them, encouraging them, helping them learn, helping them grow, helping them to understand why Jesus had come to this earth. That's what Jesus modeled for us. Now, Jesus and his group had 12 guys. In real life, 12 maybe could feel like a lot. Maybe it's manageable. In our connect groups, we love to talk about how 5 to 6 is probably a good starting place for a group where you can actually interact and grow with one another. Jesus was Jesus, right? So he kind of does whatever he wants to do. But we see that modeled in Jesus's own life and ministry. We then go on to watch that model being replicated in the New Testament when the church is first birthed. We see this. And so that's what I want to talk about today. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, it says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So already we have this model that was established by Jesus and his followers here now in the early church. It says a deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all of the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Come on! We have this amazing scene here of the first church, and these guys were meeting every single day. Now, in our context, in our busy lives, meeting each day might be a little bit difficult to do. We got work, we got families, we got all of these things that's happening around us. So, all the more, I believe we should value and prioritize the days that we can meet together. That being Sunday, that being if there's a connect group or something, or some sort of gathering outside of Sunday, then I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to meet believers as much as possible. It says in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message that Jesus is Messiah." So every day they were talking about Jesus. They were talking about what Jesus had done for them, how Jesus had come to this earth, God incarnate on earth in flesh. He lived the perfect life. He went to the cross with no sin. He died on the cross for our sin, to take our mistakes away, and he rose again 3 days later. Jesus, in fact, had appeared in his resurrection body to more than 500 believers, and now, just after that, maybe a month or two after that time, these believers were meeting together and encouraging each other about the miraculous things that they had heard and had seen from Jesus. They were talking about the gospel. They were talking about the good news which every single human needs to hear. The good news that Jesus came and died for every single one of us to give us life, to give us a second chance. That's what Jesus came here for. And that is what the church, that is what these small groups celebrate. They celebrate all that Jesus has done. And so they took the teachings of Jesus from the apostles, from people that were around Jesus, and they encouraged one another with the teachings of Jesus. So I say all of that to say, we can't meet every single day. So let's make sure that we prioritize Sunday. Let's make sure that we prioritize time with other believers, because all the other time that we have during the week might not be with other believers. It might be in the world, at work. It might be at school with other people that's living a different lifestyle. We need to make sure that we are feeding our own soul by prioritizing what God prioritizes. It says in Psalm 84, verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." You see, I have so much respect for people that I know that come to church and Sunday is their only day off. They work Monday to Saturday and Monday is their only day off. They could be doing literally anything else. They could be going to the beach. They could be going to play golf. They could just be chilling at home watching Netflix. But no, I know so many people that give their Sunday to God. And I see their lives. They're so full of joy. They're so full of generosity. They're so full of fulfillment because, like it says here, better is one day in God's house than a thousand elsewhere. So I think, and I don't want to force any, like if you don't want to, this is not about forcing you to, I want to ask you to pray into what is your priority. Is it God? Is it the house of God? If not, then I want to encourage you, why not step back into prioritizing God and His community? So the question that we're answering today is, why do I need Connect Group? I've got a few quick practical things. We're going to go through them. Are you ready? Let's do it. The first and foremost thing, like we've talked about, is personal growth. How do you measure personal growth? I believe we measure personal growth by the fruit that is being produced. So then, how do I produce good fruit? By deepening my relationship with God. You see how these things snowball one into another. When I deepen my relationship with God, I then learn how to produce good fruit. I then naturally am able to produce more good fruit. And as I do that, it can be a measurement of how far I've come, how much I have changed by the grace of God. When I was 15, I joined my first Connect group, and it was actually Pastor Richard in Hong Kong. Shout out Richard, shout out Hong Kong. And he, when he was living in Tokyo, he came to me, a 15-year-old, and he was like, so Monty, I noticed you weren't in a Connect group. You wanna start a Connect group with me? And I was like, okay, sure. And so we started this little Connect group with me, him, and one or two other young guys. And it was in that Connect group that I first learned how to journal. I remember it was at Oizumi Gakuen, Starbucks. And I sat there with Richard and he went through journaling with me. He showed me that he was journaling in the Gospel of John. And so I was like, all right, let me start there. And I started to journal at 15 years old. And journaling is what has changed my life. You see, I was born into a beautiful family that believed in God. I consider myself ultimately blessed to be able to know God from a young age. But just because my parents were Christians, just because I had heard about all these incredible stories of the Bible since I was young, it didn't necessarily mean I had a personal relationship with God. You see, I believed in Jesus. I knew I was going to heaven, but at that age, every time there was a special event or like a special call or a camp or whatever it was, and it was like, who wants to come back to God? And I was like, I don't know where I am with God. So I would raise my hand because I didn't know. But you see, when I started journaling, things began to change. Things began to shift in my life and in my heart because now, finally now, I was developing a personal relationship with Jesus. You see, that all happened in the context of a small group because someone saw me and loved me enough to invite me into God's community. We have a large community, which was church. I was already a big part of that, playing guitar on Sundays. Yes, I did play guitar, for those of you who don't know. But then there was the smaller context of community, which was Connect Group. And in that Connect Group, I learned how to produce good fruit. See, I'm so grateful for that. And with any skill, we have someone to teach us, right? We have someone to teach us how to do maths. How to do maths? How to maths? Numbers. We have someone teach us how to get better at calculations and all this and that. Same thing with reading and writing. We had someone teach us how to do those things. Same thing if you play sports, if you play tennis or soccer or badminton, like whatever it is, you have someone to teach you. Why then do we have Christians, do we have believers going around and saying, I don't need any help. I'm good. It's just me and Jesus. Remember that guy, the me and Jesus guy? That guy, I think, is lame. I'm just going to say it. That is lame. Just me and Jesus? What do you think Jesus thinks about your mentality of the church? Oh, I don't need the church. Oh, I don't like the church. Oh, the church hurt me. Same thing again, like we talked about. If you said, oh, I don't like Melissa, my wife, well, guess what? I'll meet you outside in about 30 seconds and we're going to settle this man to man, okay? I don't think God is having any of it. And so, for anyone who thinks just me and God, we good, we tight, that's all I need, you are missing out on so much of what God has for you. And I also believe that it grieves God's heart to hear people say they don't like the church, they don't want anything to do with the church, they don't want to get involved with the church. The church is Jesus' bride. He loves the church. The church is his first priority. The church, the local church, is the hope of the world. You see, the world will be touched and impacted in and through the local church. That's what we're doing here, guys. We're not just here to feel good about ourselves and feel good about our faith. We are here on a mission to impact the world for Christ. That is done through the vessel, through the vehicle of the local church. I love the local church because I am personally growing and continually being grown and learning and developing, but also it is a place where others can come and learn and grow as well. Is that okay? So the second thing I want to say is that in the church we'll also find encouragement. Let me read this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Sounds like YouTube. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. You see, there is a lot of teachings out there. There's a lot of voices and opinions out there that will try to sway us, will try to shift us and sift us and move us from side to side. But the only voice that we need to be listening to is the voice of God. And that happens in the context of when we have that personal relationship with God through journaling. That happens in the context of the local church. And that also happens in the context of a connect group. God moves. God speaks. He helps us. And then we won't be immature, flopping about from this or that. You won't be like me, who doesn't know if they're saved or not and has to raise their hand every service. You become mature. You will have an understanding. We will be able to speak the truth in love that will help encourage and motivate one another. I think when we hear the word encouragement, we normally just think of the good job, buddy. You did great. Yeah, you're doing good. You're a champion. Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for your life. Yeah. Normally when we think of encouragement, we think of that, right? We think of the positive side of encouragement. And yes, that is a beautiful side of encouragement. But there's also another side of encouragement that maybe might not be so popular. It might not be the encouragement that actually feels good. And I've had plenty of encouragements like that in my life because I have been a bit of a knucklehead, bit of a stubborn, I like to learn the hard way type of guy. And in that means there's sometimes going to be hard talks. That sometimes means there's going to be some truth spoken in love. There was one instance I remember. I was a young leader starting to work for the church, and I was kind of on this trajectory to become a pastor. And in that, I kind of thought at that point, okay, you know what? It's just going to happen. It is what it is. And I was taking it lightly. I wasn't taking it seriously that this new level of what being a pastor actually meant. And at that time, I had a leader who loved me. His name is Lewis, Pastor Lewis. Shout out Lewis and Osaka Church. And he was my leader here in Tokyo at that time. And at that time, he sat down with me and we were having katsu, pork cutlet, across the road from the office. And we sat down and the meal came and we started to eat. And then Lewis drops this absolute bombshell on me and says, Monty, I asked you to come to this lunch today because I need to tell you face to face. I don't think you're ready to be a pastor, and I'm going to tell Pastor Rod that I don't think you should be a pastor yet. Are you joking? I was like, did someone put lemon in my katsu? Because it's tasting real sour right about now. I was shocked. Maybe it was my tears. That was nice. But I was shocked. I was like, who are you to tell me what I can and can't do? I was so mad. I was just, oh, I was cutting that katsu so much. But you know what? I'm grateful that I had a leader and a friend who loved me enough to tell me the hard truth, to speak to me the truth in love. You see, that was encouragement. Encouragement was saying, you're not ready yet. You need to develop this. You need to change your thinking on this. That is also encouragement. And because of that encouragement, it helped me change my entire mindset and my entire heart posture to understand what it was to be a pastor. You see, I had to change some things about how I operated, about how I actually loved people. And I'm so grateful that I had a friend, a leader, and a brother that would be bold enough to tell me exactly what I needed to hear, even when I didn't want to hear it, even if it hurt, even if it doesn't feel good. See, that all happens in Connect Group. That all happens when we have these amazing smaller communities where people are allowed to speak into our life. And you know what? Over the years, I've seen many, many people reject that sort of encouragement, reject that sort of help. When someone tells them something that they don't like, they just leave. And I think, wow, what a shame that they left right on the cusp of a breakthrough. Because God sends people into our lives, leaders into our lives to help us learn. And they also will tell us the hard truth when we need to hear it. My encouragement is, don't step out when someone speaks a hard truth, when someone brings a difficult encouragement. Don't step away. Step in and say, yep, that hurt. What can I do to change? How can I grow? Help me. Help me to grow and overcome and become better. That all happens in the Connect Group. That all happens in the church. The third thing is that there is prayer. We pray for one another. Prayer is beautiful. Prayer is powerful. Like Paul mentioned in Colossians 1, he says, I pray for you constantly. That is a beautiful thing. Someone is praying for me? Just think about that. Someone might be praying for you. Isn't that an amazing thing that someone is praying for us? I would encourage you, if you're not praying for others, then why not start? Why not start by praying for one person here or this person there or even your Connect Group leader or your pastor, someone around you? Why not pray for them? Because the chances are they're also praying for you. It's a beautiful thing to be covered in prayer. And the fourth and final thing is that we find amazing relationships in Connect Group. I have found some of the best friendships I've ever had in Connect Group. I still have those friendships to this day, 15 odd years later. I'm still friends with Richard. I'm still friends with Lewis. I'm still friends with, there was someone in church that was in Lewis's Connect Group and he's married now. He's got two amazing boys. And we just saw him the other day at the service and I was like, yeah, like that was like 15, 16 years ago that we were both in that Connect Group and we were just reminiscing about it. It's such a beautiful thing to do life together, to develop friendships and bonds that will support and could even last a lifetime. That is the beautiful thing and blessing of Connect Group. And so, why do I need Connect Group? For all of these reasons, for great relationships, relationships, I got it, for prayer, for encouragement, and for personal growth. If you are watching this online and you are maybe not quite part of a local church, maybe it's far, I get that. But if there is a church close by to you, I really want to encourage you to get involved, to take a step of faith and enter into a beautiful community that God has. Because watching online is great, amazing, it is better than nothing, but it is not the whole package. It is not all that God would have for you. My encouragement is, let's find a church. If you are in a church, but you're not in a connect group, my encouragement to you would be also, let's take a step of faith. Maybe you need to ask someone, hey, can I join a group? But let's step into a group where we can grow. I want to finish with this final scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us not neglect meeting together, not just in church, but in connect groups, because that is where you will find life and growth. And I want to pray that over you right now. So let's pray together. God, I thank you for this amazing time that we have together to talk about your community, about your heart for your community. And God, I pray for anyone that might be just on the fence right now, God, I pray that you would give them courage to take a leap of faith into your community more, to step more in and to discover that there is so much more for them in community. I pray that they would either come to church if they have been struggling to do so, or come into connect groups if they've been struggling to do so. God, I pray you help them, you bless them, and in those new environments that they will discover the beauty and the all that you have for them in the church. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And lastly, I just want to pray for anyone here today. Maybe this is the first time you've been tuning in, or first time you're hearing about Jesus, about the local church. Well, I just want to encourage you that Jesus loves you. He has a plan for you, and he wants to help you in your life. Like we talked about earlier, Jesus came to this earth to die for us because he loves us, to take our mistakes and our sins away. And he rose again 3 days later, and that is what we celebrate now, 2,000 years later. We are celebrating Jesus, who is our Savior. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or if you were like me and you weren't sure, and if you want to come back to God, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say now, and when I say now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus today. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, now. If that's you, why don't you either raise your hand or make that decision in your heart if you want Jesus today. Amen. Can I pray for you if you made that decision? God, I thank you for these beautiful people. I pray you come into their life right now. Fill them with your love and your grace. Wipe away all of their mistakes and their sins. And I pray you'd fill them with the hope for the future. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Fantastic. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's message on the local church, talking about God's community connect groups. Tune in next week for some more great messages on God's community. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.